This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:49, Wednesday, the 3rd of August. And, you know, we are looking at this interesting story that crossed the headlines yesterday, because which is related to an announcement that was made by the Home Minister, Datuk Sri Hamzah Zainuddin, which he announced last month that more than 2,000 people have been registered by Putrajaya for a program called Sahabat Kita Demi Negara, which he said would act as the federal government's eyes and ears in issues involving national security.
For sure, raise a few eyebrows there. The program was first mooted in January 2022 and was officially launched on March 17th. But then it had already received 500 applications, and the ministry is targeting 20,000 members by next year. According to a Malay Mail article, Hamza said that the program seeks to raise awareness for the public to join KDN in carrying the responsibility to keep the country's peace and security. It added that the minister said that the ministry is targeting members as young as 15 years old, which would be Form 3 students in secondary schools.
But what do we actually know about this program, which is set to recruit young Malaysians to be informers and influencers for the ministry responsible for enforcement authorities such as the police and immigration department? For some thoughts, we have on the line with us James Chai, visiting fellow of ISIS Yusof Ishak Institute. Good morning, James. Now, what can we interpret from the Home Ministry targeting youths as young as 15 years old for such an initiative, especially since it focuses on issues involving national security?
Hi, good morning, both. So there are two things that I thought were very pertinent from initiatives that are very similar to this. The first one is that this primarily would act as this branding and PR tool that a lot of politicians who assume ministerships, they would like to use. So the reason why they would always push out activities like that, primarily targeting at youths, is because they are the most energetic bunch. At the same time, they're the most digital group as well. So if you look into some of the details of Sahabat Kita Demi Negara, it is to push out accurate information about KDN. And I think Hamza Zainuddin even talked about how he wants to make sure that people know that Malaysia is ranked 23rd, I think, out of 100 plus countries on the Global Peace Index, to show once again that they are trying to counter a lot of fake information about the ministry as well as the government. So these are tools to brand KDN as well as indirectly the party that Hamza Zainuddin represents. But second of all, I think very obviously, the reason why they're targeting youth from 15 onwards has an electoral motive as well. In other words, a lot of politicians since the passage of 2018 are trying diverse ways of trying to reach out to youth who will be voting either in this election or the next. So giving them just opportunities to do road shows, to have face-to-face right. meetings with youth that age would be very important in building that support base for their own party.
So a branding tool to kind of address misconceptions and electoral kind of asset as well. But in my mind, what makes this so appealing for youth to join such an initiative?
So if you look into sort of what are the benefits that are offered, the subtext here is free food. Right, you get offered to a lot of high tea workshops, seminars, meeting with the ministry. And if you look at events like that, which we've had many of them in the past, they were targeting at the most vulnerable group of people who require that kind of additional food support, because they would actually turn out to these events and they would wear those uniforms that they're asked to wear and do whatever that the ministry insists, right? So in this case, I think there are a lot of communication, a lot of online online posting as well as commenting, right? So I think that is the main appeal. They didn't talk about, you know, any cash reward or so on. But I think any other sub-benefit, like being members of it, sort of being part of this community, are definitely less attractive compared to the food.
Okay, but are there some ethical considerations with regards to having such an initiative?
Yeah, so I think there are larger ethical concerns, sure. The first one would be the very basic moral dilemma that we have, which is you're targeting the most vulnerable group as your foot soldiers, right? And as well as groups as young as 15 years old, right? So a lot of us know that since only 18, we knew that the age where we treat them like adults would be 18 onwards. 15 is really stretching it a bit on whether this group of people are able to make rational choices, but you're putting them into a specific partisan framework, right? Whether that's positive for society. So that's the moral dilemma. The second thing that we have is, of course, the political dilemma, which is every time a ministry pushes out a government initiative that uses public funds, if it has so much of a partisan effect, is that something that we can accept? So I think one of the most famous agencies would be the Special Affairs Department, JCOM, that has been quite controversial under the Prime Minister's department in the past few elections. And I think this is something of a similar wavelength, that every time, if each ministry already have like communications and publication departments, if we already have existing communication sort of tool set, right? I mean, every division of ministry, do whenever an initiative like that is carried out, when public funds are put in, whether that's something that we can accept or not. The last one, of course, related to all of this is the financial cost, right? If you already have so many departments doing the advertising for ministry, is this a duplication of function and therefore is this a waste of money? Because just one last thing to highlight, if you look into like the motive or like the key objectives of this Sahabat KDN, it is really to push out the very generic stuff. Peace, prosperity, security, interracial unity, the very basic stuff as vague as possible so that you can hold them accountable, you know.
Yeah, so that's why I want to, you know, deep dive on this whole motivation point. As you say, right, at the moment, the themes are all pretty harmless. Of course, it comes at a cost. The worry is that it later translates or transpires into perhaps even creating and fostering this surveillance society. And that's the worrying part, right, when you extend this foot soldier role or just being champions to actually even trying to take on a role, bigger role of surveillance then.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because I actually think, you know, on a very realistic level, that wouldn't happen, in the sense that their primary motive is because elections are coming. At the same time, they always need an excuse to use government funds for partisan interests, right? But it is true to some extent that this gives the opportunity for abuse. The reason for this is because this is closely linked to KDN, which has all of the sensitive security apparatus of the country in place. And you're putting 15-year-olds to have the ability to report as the eyes and ears of the government on suspicious activities. And I don't know if you remember a few years ago, there was a spike in terms of the terrorist reporting in the country. So a lot of it, they said, were overblown, right? In the sense that they want to be shown to have taken taken action against terrorists. We do quite a good job, to be frank, in countering that. But there's also a lot of outlier cases where certain behaviors were either deemed to be over-suspicious and therefore we took actions that could be detrimental to human rights, yeah? So I think a lot of it, bearing in mind also, like, a lot of these security agencies that are under KDN, like any other institution around the world, they have a certain KPI to meet. Would this be used as sort of an opportunity to rack up certain numbers so that you meet KPI? All of those, I think, would have a tendency of bringing us closer to that surveillance society where there's field of distrust. But I think, of course, fundamentally, this is just an opportunity for abuse. But I think the more realistic picture is that it wouldn't actually get there so quickly, because I have to be frank, I don't even think they'll get that many members so quickly.
Thank you for your time. That was James Chai, visiting fellow at ISIS, Yusuf Ishak. Institute giving us his views on the Sahabat Dermi Negara program that the Home Ministry is running. I think his point is that they're not going to get that many members so soon. But there are question marks about it. And I would say I don't know enough. But from what I read, those who register, they receive a membership passport and they can choose to participate in any activities with any security agency under KDN. So even things like Royal Malay Police, Immigration Department, Malaysian Maritime Enforcement Agency, National Anti-Drugs Agency, or People's Volunteer Corps, Rela, aren't these all very critical departments?
Well, that's why I'm wondering, right? If you remember, we had Rakan Mood in the past, which was really about, you know, just getting you out from lepaking. And then now
we had National Service.
Perhaps why don't we just invest our resources in that, you know, if we need to get youth more engaged and even more committed to this nation and country? I think that's the broader question. So with what I think James is trying to imply here is like people are coming for the free food. It's really more about just a political stunt. Perhaps it's more about, I think, reaching out and connecting with them.
Especially with only 18, right? So you want to get them young. You want to reach out to the younger people earlier rather than later.
And I think that's all kind of harmless yet expensive kind of endeavours. The bigger and broader concern is we hope it doesn't translate into something a bit more sinister, like it becomes like agents and informants for the country, right? When they're actually government apparatus that are responsible for doing that.
Yeah. So we'll be watching this space. In the meantime, up next, of course, we got the 8 a.m. news bulletin followed by the Breakfast Grill, where I speak to Jodis. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.